Welcome, everyone. Melinda Zarate with Emboldened Heart here. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen in today, and you're in for a treat. I have a special guest speaker that I'll be interviewing and talking with today for the very first time. And our guest speaker today is Sharon Mackerlane. And Sharon has a very interesting story, and she is going to share some beautiful messages and information with us today that has become very personally meaningful to me. And before we welcome her, I'd like to just share with you a little bit of information about Sharon. She's a psychotherapist from Laguna Beach, California, and in 1996, she received a vision that changed her life. The Council of the Grandmothers appeared as she was walking her dog and revealed what must be done to bring the masculine and feminine energies on Earth back into balance. And they told her that the Earth has suffered too long from an excess of yang energy and insufficient yin energy. And they told her that they have come to correct this. And ever since then, Sharon has been sharing this beautiful message of the grandmothers and an empowerment into the energy of yin. And she takes the grandmother's message and empowerment all over the world now. And she'll be sharing quite a bit of additional information with us today. And I'm really delighted because I have just myself receive the empowerment, and I'm going to be a beacon for the grandmother's message myself and help Sharon and the grandmothers to do their work. So I'm excited. Hi, Sharon. Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Hi, Melinda. You tickle me. It's fun to hear your excitement.
Oh, I am. I'm so excited. It's easy for me to get excited about things like this anyway, but there's something about this particular work and the way that it's being presented and the timing, which is absolutely urgent. And I've kind of been waiting for a few months. It's like, I know I'm supposed to be doing something. What am I supposed to be doing? What is it? And it just kind of, boom. It was like, here, this is what you're supposed to be doing now. So it's just uncanny, isn't it, how things kind of line up for us and we're given our assignments?
It is. I mean, who knew? We never expect that it's going to, you know, that it's really going to come through that way, but it does.
Exactly. Well, I know that my listeners are going to really be so eager to hear about this work that you and the grandmothers, the Council of Grandmothers, are doing. And for those who really are not at all familiar with the grandmothers' work and the Net of Light, could I ask you to maybe just share a little bit about your story? I gave them just a little brief taste, but gosh, there's a lot. So
I'll be glad to do that. Stop me if I go on too long.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
It's quite a story, and it's just got all kinds of chapters, but I'll give you the basics.
Great.
Probably like almost everybody listening on this call, I was and have been a spiritual, really serious spiritual seeker for a long, long time, from all my adult life. Learning, traveling, trying to find the ultimate truth, you know, wherever I went. And I had just been to India and had an interview with Satya Sai Baba. And I felt like, holy mackerel, this is for real.
Wow.
He knew everything about me. And as far as I knew, he'd never laid eyes on me. It was a beautiful experience to be in the presence of so much love and clarity. Anyway, and I came home from that just feeling, my life is complete. I've been to the mountain. Now I can just sit down and meditate and own the rest of my life. you see what's coming here.
I think so.
Unfortunately, I don't have the kind of temperament that can just sit there and own for the rest of my life. My grandmother always said I had ants in my pants, and I do. I have to be up and going. So, So anyway, I hadn't been home long when he came in the dream, and he said to me in the dream, he said, "What do you want?" And I thought, "What do I want? Well, I want God." And so I said, "I want God." And he said, "Uh-huh. And what do you want besides God?" And I thought, "What is he talking about? There's nothing besides God." And then the dream was over, and I started thinking, what does that mean? What is there besides God? And so I just became like upset by this. I couldn't figure out what this was. And then I put two and two together and said, well, you know, for me, yes, of course I want God, but I also need work. I need work to do because I can't just sit there. I don't have that kind of calm temperament where I can just sit and, you know, be grateful all the time. So I started praying for work. I started praying really hard. Give me work that uses everything I've got. And at that time, I was a marriage and family therapist, and I was a Reiki master, and I also fed the homeless every week. I was active in a lot of things, but I knew very well that I wasn't doing as much as I could. I felt I felt like I was a stove that had four burners and only two of them were working. I had all this potential to do more, but I didn't know what it was. So I started praying. Okay, I said, you asked me what I wanted. Now I'm telling you, I want work, and I mean it. Give me work that uses everything I've got. I don't want to waste my life. So that went on for a couple weeks, just praying with that white hot intensity. And wow. Then one morning I was walking the dog down by the beach in town. And usually my husband did that with me. We still do that, walk the dog every morning. But he was going on a business trip, so it was just me. So I was down there, and here's all my neighbors walking, and they're waving to me. I'm waving to them. And then all of a sudden, here were all these old women. And they were standing off to the side, and they were waving to me and beckoning me, you know, to go over to them. And they were beautiful. And, you know, some of their long gray hair was blowing in the breeze. And then I noticed, oh, my God, they're wearing all kinds of native costumes. These don't look like women I see around here. And sure enough, they were all cultures and colors and all these costumes. And I thought, what's happening to me? What's going on here? And then I realized that I was able to see through them. They were transparent, and I was seeing the ocean, you know, behind them and through them. And then I got scared because of course, all my life, I've been so envious of everyone who had a vision, and I'd always wanted a vision, you know, why can't I have one? So then I realized I was having a vision, and it scared me, so I just wanted them to go away. But they wouldn't. They were so patient, and they were so compassionate. They understood that I was scared to death, but they just waited me out and waited with this loving look. And finally, I thought, okay, whatever, tell me. And so they said they were the Great Council of the Grandmothers. And that name just fit them so perfectly, and I understood it was the truth. And that when I heard that, that fear left me because I knew I was in the presence of something that was just right. And they said that they had come because the earth was in grave danger. The way they explained it is that the basic building blocks of energy on Earth, they said what you call yin and yang, are out of balance. And they said it's not exactly yin and yang, but that's close enough. The masculine principle of energy is too far out. It is too extended. There's too much of it, and so it's moving faster and faster in more and more destructive ways. And the feminine principle, the yin, is grossly, grossly depleted, terribly depleted, dangerously depleted. And so everything on earth is suffering. It's like that old poem by Yeats, you know, that the center cannot hold because there was too much of the energy of action, doing, not enough of the energy of holding, nurturance, and support. And so they said, we've come to correct this, and we will do this primarily through individual women and a few men. And they said, not many men will be drawn to this teaching, because only men who have a balance of yin and yang within them will understand it and come to it. And so most of this work needs to be done by women. And they said women have to take the first step. It can be no other way. And it's all at some level. I was green as grass. I didn't even know what yin and yang were. But I understood. It was the truth, and I got it. And so then all this time I'm walking and my neighbors are saying hi to me and I'm trying to act like I'm a normal person, you know, that all this isn't going on at the same time. But it was kind of funny. I almost got hysterical laughing because I could do both things at the same time. Anyway, then they said, we're going to give you something. And they proceeded to give me what we now call the Grandmother's Empowerment, which is a kind of an initiation into receiving a very deep infilling with the energy of yin. It's like giving water to a thirsty, thirsty plant. And so they did this thing for me as I'm walking the dog, and I was just so overcome with this wonderful feeling of completion, like I was truly, truly filled and whole. And I never felt that in my life. And so I was crying. I was trying to pretend like I wasn't crying, all of that. And it just kept going on. Anyway, and that was it. And then they were gone. I walked the rest of the way home, sat down, wrote down everything I could remember of what had happened. And I put it away. I didn't tell anybody. I was just so stunned. And I was so happy. I was so, I don't even know what the word is. I was so fulfilled that I knew that if I started talking about it, I couldn't explain it, and that I would reek in my own experience. So I didn't say anything. Mm-hmm. My husband came home from his business trip and I didn't say anything. And then the next day, I see clients at home. So I was waiting for a client to come, and I was carrying laundry up the stairs. And I looked into our back garden. We live in Southern California, which is densely, densely populated. Anyway, yeah. I looked out into our back garden, and there on top of my little stepladder was this enormous bird of prey. Huge thing. I'd never seen anything like that. Anyway, I looked at this, and it could swing its head in that full circumference, you know, all the way around, and it was watching out over the garden. My husband had his office over the garage at that time, and I called him, and he saw it too. And then my client came a little later, and she saw it, and I was really relieved that they had all seen it, that this was not another vision, but it was actually, you know, happened in ordinary reality. Anyway, I didn't put that together with the coming of the grandmothers. I didn't know what was happening. It was like, what's going on in my life here? Anyway, next thing, I'll tell you this little part, and then it's your turn to talk. Anyway, next thing I did is I went to New Mexico to take a painting. I thought it was going to be a painting workshop with this wonderful artist, Mind Red Craighead. One of her paintings is the cover for the second of the books that I've written about this. Anyway, Mind Red is this inspiring person out. She was a former Benedictine nun, lived in a cloister for 14 years, very intense, Rhodes Scholar, fabulous painter. So I go there thinking I'm going to learn all about painting. Well, no. What I learned, she gave us the sacred feminine, you know, the God the Mother. It was about God the Mother, this whole weekend workshop. And I didn't know anything about that. I know. And it is, so she was showing us thousands of slides from antiquity, from everywhere, about the idea of God the Mother. And so I thought, you know, I wonder if these grandmothers have something to do. So I pulled her aside and I said, Mind Red, this thing happened to me. I told her about the grandmothers coming, and I told her, oh, by that time I'd found out about the big bird in the backyard. It was a golden eagle, which are also extraordinarily rare.
Yeah,
in this part of the country. Anyway, so I told her about that all happening, and she looked at me and she said, oh, well, this follows the classic line of myth. you must go home now and find out why these grandmothers came. Because in the following, what happens in when myths are formed is first there is the vision, and then there is the visitation. And she said the eagle was the visitation that marked the truth of the vision of the grandmothers. So I thought, okay. So I came home, and again, I started praying in that, you know, white hot thing. Okay, you came, you gave me this. Now you guys, I'm supposed to go to you. I'm willing. I'm here on earth. I'll do the work, whatever you have. Just take, show me what to do. Well, very shortly thereafter, through a series of seemingly miraculous experiences, I was led to a shaman who then taught me how to do shamanic journeying or shamanic travel in order to meet these grandmothers. And so I did it. I was scared, really scared this time, but I did it because I had to know. And I, they let me find them. She said that you'll only find them if they want you to, and they did.
Mm-hmm.
And they started then to teach me about why they come, what all this was about, what they needed women for, and what they needed men for, what was supposed to take place now. And so I just became their student, and I recorded everything they said, and I learned how to use the computer. I did all that, and at this point now I've written 3 books of their teachings, and then they told me to pass on this empowerment to anyone who wanted it. And so I started immediately, and that's been going on for 20 years now. And in that time, people who've received the empowerment, as you just have, Melinda, often go on then and start a group where they in turn pass it on to others. We don't charge any money for this work. This is priceless, and so we put no price on it. We give it away. And now there are, I don't even know how many. I know it's over 200 groups around the world doing this. And the books have been translated into different languages. And then we have these large gatherings, like there's one in California at the beginning of March in the desert.
Yes. And I want to be sure and share the particulars about that event because there may be some folks listening who will want to attend that. And
sure.
There's so much to this. There's so many messages that the grandmothers have shared, and there's so much in their messages that is so pertinent to what is going on today as we speak. And it's just, even though this work has been going on now for over 20 years, it's urgent right now, more so than ever before, isn't it? Or is that just my impression?
No. You're right. This is, when they first came, they talked about the times that were approaching, when the energies of yin and yang on the planet were going to shift, and that it would be a very dangerous time, a very difficult time, at which time dark energy or confused energy would start rising to the surface, and it would be very, very frightening and difficult for people to hold steady during that time. We're in that now. Maybe 7 or 8 years ago, they stopped saying the times that are coming, and they started saying the times that have come. And so I know we're right in the middle of that now.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's accentuated, and the messages that are coming from them are coming thick and fast now, particularly. We're on Facebook now. You can find us, I think you can probably still find us under Grandmothers Speak, but you can also find us under netoflight.org or Net of Light. And I'll talk about that in a minute, because that's a construct that's doing a tremendous amount of good for the world now.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the things that I think really touched me and really allowed me to open up to this and the importance of this particular, it's I kind of understand it as a spiritual construct that is within each of us, but it also extends out of us, and it touches everything and everyone in the world. And I love that they
can, you're talking about the net of light, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I love that they came to you and presented themselves as grandmothers and asked you or directed you to call them the grandmothers, because there's no one anywhere, any age, from any culture, who doesn't understand what that concept of a grandmother is. I mean, grandmothers, they're wise, they're loving, they can be fierce, they can be tough, they can be soft, compassionate. They want the best for their loved ones and their community, and they get things done.
That's right. That's right. They're potent and they're practical. And they said exactly what you said, that everyone understands the archetype of grandmother. She who loves all the children, she who loves the fathers, the mothers, who seeks the highest good for the family of life. And mm-hmm. they said that's why they've come in that form now, because they said
so
this
beautiful.
Is a form that's needed now, because the world needs mothering now. And
indeed,
so we have. Yep.
Yeah, and I also, as I've been kind of thinking about this and sort of kind of taking it in, the essence of it, into myself and my understanding, what I also realized is the brilliance of this grandmother concept right now, because the grandmothers are an aspect of divinity. And they're showing up in this way because people are really suffering now, and they need something. They need a lifeline, if you will, of understanding and connection. And there have been lots and lots of spiritual teachings and metaphysical teachings and mystical teachings and all kinds of things, channelings and groups of enlightened beings that have been giving information. All of that is beautiful, and it's been important and helpful. But I think there's also a really pretty large slice of humanity that has not been exposed to that. And everyone understands grandmothers.
Yeah.
So this is just, it's just brilliant. It's genius. It's perfect. And, it's so touched
isn't God,
me.
Isn't God smart, though, to do
yes.
this right now? We couldn't
yes.
need this more than we do right now. And to come, you know, they say that we are the grand mothers, and we've come in to usher in the return of the great mother, that the energy of the feminine principle has just been in short supply for far too long, and the earth is suffering. And they said we will not see the earth destroyed, and so we've come. So those of us who join in with this just have the best time. I mean, it's just this most joyous, wonderful, wonderful thing. If you were to come to one of those gatherings, it would just blow you away. And having a group of your own, it will in its own way blow you away. It is such
yeah.
a sweetness and builds a feeling of loving community. I mean, really, wherever I travel and take this work, it's like I'm going home. Wherever I go, people open their arms to me. And when they come here, we, you know, for this gathering that we're having in March, a lot of women are coming from Europe, and we just all open up to them, and many of them stay with us in our homes. And when we go over there, same thing, or to Australia, or wherever we're going, it's a loving, loving community and communion, heart to heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the word grand is perfect for it.
Yes,
oh,
it is.
Oh, how wonderful. Yeah. Well, I know that grandmothers have given you a lot of clarity and a lot of understanding and great wisdom. Tell us, if you will, explain the net of light so that people
yes.
can sort of understand that. I think that's really important, too.
Yes, I'll do my best. It took me a long time to grasp it. It's very simple, but it was so foreign to me, I couldn't figure out what it was. The net of light is a construct made of light, and light is a visual for love, and love is a visceral for light. So you can call it net of light or net of love. It is the same thing, but it is the fabric of being of the universe and connects every life form everywhere within itself. I'll talk about it a little first, and then what I'll do is I'll kind of lead you in a guided meditation so you can experience it, because it's, you know, if we just talk about it, it's nothing. But if you really experience
right.
something, then you've got it forever.
Oh, good. That would be lovely.
Yeah. When we first began, they said, oh, think of it like a big fishing net that covers the earth farther than your eyes can see. And then walk forward on that fishing net and take your place somewhere where two of those strands come together. In fact, I'm going to do this right now. We'll go inward
okay.
and I'll talk you
Great.
Through it. Then we'll talk about it. I think it's better
okay,
to get the experience.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful. And just let me know when you're finished, and then I'll come back. I'm going to actually mute.
Sure.
I'll let you take
sure.
the helm right now.
And usually okay. I do this with a drum, but it's too hard talking like this to beat the drum, too. So I'm just going to talk you through it.
Okay, perfect. It's all yours.
All right. Okay. So let's begin by thinking of this very large fishing net that spreads out in front of you, way out over the horizon, farther than you can see. And it also goes behind you and beside you. It's this vast, vast net of light. And wherever those two strands come together, forming a T or an X, there's a point of light there. And as you walk forward onto this net of light, one of these points is going to attract you. And go to that and sit down here at this nexus point where these strands come together and just let the net of light hold you. And just breathe it in and rest there. And it'll feel like a comfortable place for you, like a place where you can kind of come home and just be yourself. And you rest there on the net of light. And it's like being, it is being held in love. You are held in love. And the grandmothers say that the net of light is lit by the jewel of the heart. That it is the purity of your own heart that lights strands of the net of light. No matter what grief or pain your heart has been through, no matter what it may have suffered, yet it is a pure vessel because that's its actual design. The heart is designed to give and receive love. And that purity of its design cannot be destroyed. It can be muted, it can be muffled, it can be wounded, but it is yet and always this point of radiance, this jeweled light. And so as you sit there on the net of light, your radiant heart begins to just broadcast light along the strands of the net of light. And it, as it sends the light out, then the light rushes back to you. So it's a giving and a receiving light, and it happens effortlessly. This is what the grandmothers call effortless effort. You just think the thought of being part of this net of light, and you are part of the net of light. And we experience our union together now as we do this work together. Experience the radiance of our connection with each other. And we can also experience our union with the grandmothers and with all forms of the divine, because there are thousands of forms of the divine that have made themselves known to humanity over time and throughout various cultures. And the grandmothers say, call on whatever form of the divine you love. We don't care. If you call on us, Jesus will come. If you call on Jesus, Buddha, and we will come. Allah will come. All forms of the divine are one. But they show themselves differently in different times, in different cultures, for your sake, for humanity's sake. And so we, the grandmothers, have come now because the world needs mothering now. So experience your union with the divine and all of its radiance, with all the sacred beings, the saints, the sages, the avatars who give their lives in service. Experience your union. We all experience our union with all the sacred and holy places on our beloved planet. We experience our union with sacred beings throughout time, many of them the ancestors of the light, who, just as we seek the light, in their lifetime they too sought the light. And right now, because there is no limit on time and space, we are all one in this vast one love of the net of light. And let yourself rest here now, so full of light, giving and receiving, giving and forgiving, all of it happening as easy as breath. And the grandmothers ask that every time we meet, that we cast the net of light wherever it's needed. And there are so many beings who need it now, so many places on earth that need it now. And so together we now begin to cast the net of light to the human family, to all men, women, and children everywhere, asking that wherever there's suffering, that these beings be held in light and know that they are loved, and that they be given whatever they most need. And in this, we also include all the leaders of this world, asking that all of these leaders remember now that they are part of this radiant net of light, that they are a precious part of this construct of living, breathing love that holds our planet. And now we begin to cast to the animal kingdom, asking that every animal receives what it most needs. And we cast now to the plant kingdom, and we cast to the mineral kingdom, and we cast the radiant net of light to everything that lives. And together we ask, may everyone in all the world be happy. May everyone in all the world be happy. May everyone in all the world be happy. Peace, peace, May everyone in all the world be happy. That, of course, includes us as well. So may you be happy. May I be happy. And just notice how you feel now. Notice how your body feels, because the body is such a good teacher. And it can show us so many things. And this meditation that we just did, you can do anytime, any place. And if you go onto our website, netoflight.org, you'll see it there. I think we have some videos on it, and we have audios on it. If you go to our, you know, click on the videos and songs, you'll pull up all of that. The website itself is very, very rich. We've loaded it with as much information and tools for you as we possibly can, and we're always adding to that. So you can go there and seek and find probably what you're looking for.
Oh, thank you, Sharon. That meditation was exquisite, and this is powerful, beautiful, and important work. And I would encourage anyone listening to go to the website. Again, it's netoflight.org, and they're really it's beautiful. There's exquisite artwork. There are videos that really are very, they're beautifully put together and short, and they'll help you to really understand what this incredible effort is about even more. There are songs, and there are events. And for those of you listening, if someone resonates with this in a special way, the way that I did, and you're interested, you can actually become a beacon as well. And what I love is that I learned after I got excited and asked if I could become a beacon, I learned that the grandmothers had called me. And that was really fun. It was like, oh, good. And as I was kind of starting to work with some of the messages and the energy of the grandmothers, I felt my two grandmothers come in and help. And it was so powerful and beautiful, and it really helped me to just understand all of this at such a much deeper level. And I realized how I was missing them and their influence in my life, because they both passed on, one of them when I was 16, and I'm 62, and the other one when I was 28. And I was really close to them both. And so they're here now, and I really feel that connection with them. So there's so much to this. This work is just, it's deep, it's rich, it's beautiful, it's fun, it's deep and light at the same time, isn't it, Sharon?
It is, and I'll also tell you, you'll meet the best people of your life doing this work, and you really will. Melinda, you don't even know yet how much you're going to love those all those women and men who are drawn to this.
I am just, so excited.
And all these miraculous things happen too. I'm so lucky because I'm in the catbird seat, so I get to hear all the stories of all the miracles and stuff. It's just, it's just constant.
Yeah.
A cool thing that's happening right now, and we're waiting to hear from the warden at Folsom Prison, but two women who are involved with the grandmothers started a group. Oh, golly, they started maybe in May last year. After they came to the a gathering and up in Northern California, and one of them just got this strong message from the grandmothers that she was to take that work into the women's part of Folsom Prison. And so she and I flew up to Folsom Prison last month and met with the man who's in charge of the all the classes that people, you know, come in and do. And he was very happy with it. He loved it. So he's now taking it to the warden. And if the warden says yes, then she and her friend will be in the prison passing on this grandmother's message of the empowerment of women, you know, and the opening of the heart to these women prisoners. And I'm just thrilled by this. But this is kind of typical in a way, because these sorts of fabulous things happen because of the work and because of the kind of people who are drawn to it. And you're not kidding, Melinda, and we're not kidding when we tell you that what the grandmothers say is they say no one comes to this work unless we call them. So if anybody,
I believe it.
If anybody's listening and you're feeling this sort of little, ooh, that sounds good to me, you know who has got your string there. The grandmothers are calling you. The work we do, we call it work because we don't know what to call it. It's very joyful, but what are you going to call it? Anyway, it's selfless work, and at the same time, it's selfish work because it does so much for each of us. It gives us so much. But ostensibly, it's selfless. I mean, we just take a few donations so we can run our website and have scholarships sometimes for beacons who need help getting to a gathering. But other than that, we don't really, money-wise, the only other thing we need to pay for is when we have a gathering we have for the venue. But other than that, we don't have any need for it. So
that's fabulous.
That has been very important. That is why a lot of people trust us, because we're not earning a living from this. Most of us do whatever kind of work we do, and we do this just because we do it.
And I was really drawn to that, too. I loved it that the grandmother's message about that was mothering is not a profit center.
Well, you know, I never heard it put that way, but I like that.
Well, that was how I kind of understood it. It was like, I get that.
Yeah, it does. That fits perfectly. Yeah. Now they said early on, keep us as far away from commerce as possible. And I took them at their word.
And that makes sense, because commerce does tend to be very young, very, very young energy.
Well, and we get caught in it. Yeah,
we all do. We have to. I mean, it is the, you know, kind of the world we live in. There is one thing I want to mention, and I think this is really important, and it really touched me deeply and resonated for me, is that this work in no way, shape, or form is designed to raise women above men, is it?
Oh, no.
It's designed to balance the energy on this planet that is so needed, so that we can all really feel that we have a place here together. And men are suffering right now.
Grandmothers say the men are suffering even more than the women are, and that unless we as women take this step into the power of yin, the men cannot save themselves. Several years ago, we had a man come to one of our gatherings, and he was a nurse at a prison, a men's prison, and he spoke to us from his heart, and boy, I tell you, we were crying. He begged us. He said, please step into your power. You're so needed to do that, because unless you do that, the men I work with are so lost, they don't have a chance.
Oh, my.
And
wow.
So we take that very, very seriously. And we, you know, this gathering that's coming up in March, we will probably have maybe 10% of the people who will be there will be men. Mm-hmm. There's never a lot of men, but the ones who come, we are so grateful they come because they benefit and they love it. But they benefit
yes.
us because we need that support of Yang. And
right.
not to be in opposition to us, but to be with us. And those men
right.
are, and they are awesome.
Yeah. And the grandmothers have actually, they have given men a special gift as well. So could you maybe talk about that a little bit? And I love the
Absolutely.
Name.
Yeah. Basically, when we do this ceremony of the empowerment, we do it for men and for women. But for women, we call it the empowerment because the goal is to empower a woman with the energy of yin that's been pretty missing in her. So that will bring her into power. For men, we don't call it that because they already have the energy of yang many times in oversupply. And what they need is the comfort and nurturance of the energy of yin to balance out that yang. And so what they call it when we give it to a man is we call it the cloak of comfort because it wraps a man in the energy of yin so that he can balance within himself.
Beautiful. Just really so beautiful. And it's like, it's poetic, really. It's just so lovely.
Those
yeah.
grandmothers are poetic and funny.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God,
I know.
Funny.
And I want to mention that for those of you listening, if you're interested in actually learning more, kind of one of the first things that's recommended is that you read Sharon's first book, which is A Call to Power. And that book kind of tells the story of how Sharon came to work with the grandmothers and expands on it significantly with additional information and meditations and a great deal of wisdom from the grandmothers. And that book kind of sets the stage so that you have a real sense of what this means and what it's about. And it's a beautiful book, and I highly recommend it. And then there are two more books. So there is really a wealth of wisdom that the grandmothers have been sharing over these last 20 some years, but they continue, don't they, Sharon, to give you messages?
Yes. Oh yeah. It's coming. They're coming thick and fast now because
mm-hmm.
the times we're living in are so critical now, kind of
right.
almost like red hot. And so they're coming
yes.
very, very, very quickly. Yeah, I please do, if you're at all, if this resonates to you, then get one of the books and start to read it, and it'll ground you in this message. There isn't any time to waste now. We don't have time to put things off or say, oh, someday, this is the day, this is someday, this is now. And so if you resonate to this, then go full speed ahead. Go for it. If you don't, it's perfectly fine. It's not for everyone. But also, I wanted to say, it's not a religion. There's no religion involved in it. It supports and it's in, you know, supportive of all religions, but it is not a new religion. So they don't care. We have women of all varieties and men of all varieties of religions involved in this.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was one of the things that, as I was kind of thinking about it, the message that kind of just came through to me is from the grandmothers was, we understand that you are world weary of religion, perhaps, and we are not about religion.
That's right.
I was really grateful to kind of get that.
I know.
Yeah. They don't bring a big rule book with them.
There's no hierarchy and there's no rules. They don't tell you mustn't do this or you should do that. They none of that. They just say, please do not try to get through these difficult times all on your own. Call on any form of the divine you love, but call. Do not try to tough it out because it's way too dark and nasty right now.
Yeah. It's remarkable. Many of us, myself included, have for quite some time kind of been sort of asking, you know, what's my mission here? What am I to do? Well, boom. You know, it's like, ooh, okay, it's time to really be alert and awake and focus in and ask for help and get busy.
Yeah, yeah. It's very fun and very practical. There's plenty that you can do with this.
Yeah.
You can feel very productive and like you're enlisted to do something that's worth doing. And you can have a lot of fun and a lot of, not fun like vacuous fun, but joyful. You can have a lot of joy doing it. Yeah.
Yes. A lot of fulfillment and an incredible amount of giving, which is reciprocated. So, yes, this is very beautiful work that anyone can do. You don't
That's
need
funny.
A PhD. No, you don't need,
so funny.
You know,
they say there is no one so special that they cannot pass our empowerment on to another person.
Oh, I love that. Oh,
yeah,
that's wonderful.
Very good.
Wow.
Let me just mention the gatherings that are coming up, because
yes.
some of you, your audience is going to be in various parts of the country or whatever.
Right.
The first one is at Joshua Tree National Park, which is in the desert here in Southern California. That's the first weekend of March this year. The next one is May 16th, 17th, I believe, which is in the north of England, which will draw a lot of northern Europeans. The weekend after that, May 21st, 22nd, I believe, is in Lithuania. So there'll be that will draw from another area of northern Europe. Then in July, there's a gathering at Ayers Rock, Uluru, the big red rock in the middle of Australia, there.
Ooh.
And in September, there is a gathering in Hoesbeek in Holland. And then in October, there's a gathering in Western Pennsylvania at an old convent retreat. And that's the particular gatherings. The gatherings will probably have from, depending on where it is, maybe like 60 to maybe 200 people at them.
Okay.
And there'll be always a mixture of people coming from various places at any of them. They are all listed on the website, again, netoflight.org.
Great.
You'll find all kinds of information. And also on the website will be listed the various beacons where there are meetings being held in this country and around the world.
And there is a lot of activity. I was just, I was really surprised at how many people are doing this work now. It's so cool.
We've been slammed since the American election. We have been just about knocked off our feet by people wanting to start groups, wanting to get involved. I think we had in the beginning of December, we had for the whole month of November, we probably had 82 people saying they wanted to start groups. Holy mackerel. We can hardly keep up with them. It's a wonderful problem. I love it.
Oh, yeah. I'm so glad that people are really stepping into right now into wanting to do this as part of their action that they're taking, and I'm going to be joining them because I'm going to be starting a group here in Arkansas, and I'm really I just feel really honored and I'm so excited. And so listeners, these events will be fantastic. Go to the website, learn about them. If you decide that you want to attend one, know that you're giving yourself an enormous gift, and you're also giving a great gift to humanity and the planet as well. So I encourage all of you to get busy.
I'm sorry, Melinda. Sorry for interrupting you.
No problem.
Also, we're here on the other end. We're here to answer any of your questions or stuff that you have. So if you have questions about any of this, you can contact us through the website.
Great. And listeners, you're welcome, as you always are, to to contact me as well via email or on Facebook, and I'll be happy to answer any questions that I can and direct you to Sharon or anyone that in the organization that that can answer anything that I can't as well. So, oh gosh, Sharon, thank you so much for being here today and sharing this this incredible story and this beautiful work. It's such, oh, it's just such a gift and so needed, so appreciated. And bless you and the grandmothers and your work.
And right back at you and all your listeners. We're all in this together. We're all part of this radiant net of light that's holding the earth now. We're all part
indeed
of the one love.
Yes, absolutely.
So thanks
all
for
right,
this
well,
Linda.
Oh, it was just an honor. It was just a real honor. And it'll be lots of fun to listen to what the grandmothers are going to be bringing us and to take heed of their messages, because the brilliance, the love, and the light is what we're all really, really longing for right now, and it's there for you. So, listeners... This is a beautiful place to find that nourishment, that spiritual soul nourishment and love from the divine and from each other. So thanks for being with us today. Listeners, bless you. And Sharon, thank you. Thank you. Bless you so, so much. Do I appreciate what you have done and continue to do.
Well, thank you. And thank you for joining the Net of Light team.
I'm just delighted. I'm rubbing my hands together. I can't wait to get going.
Goody.
Yeah. Okay. Enjoy the rest of your day, everyone. And you too, Sharon. Bye-bye for now.
Well, thanks. Bye-bye.